of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
All right, next up is public comments. Anyone from the public have any public comments?
You know the drill.
15 minutes, right?
Uh-huh. Only if you're Carrie.
Hello, council. My name's Philip Money. Thank you. Well, maybe. 221 West Carolyn Drive. I'm here in regards to 215 West Carolyn Drive once again. It's been brought to my attention. I just want to actually make sure that this is true, that 215 currently, to my understanding, has multiple citations already against them. And now is told that these citations will not count against them until they're going to start a new tally starting July 1st. Is this true? And if so, who authorized this?
Philip. Yes. You know we can't go back and forth and comment,
right?
But if you can wait till there's a break in the meeting, get with Wendy, and she can explain all of that, okay?
I could talk to you also.
Thanks, Ed.
Okay.
Okay.
We can't do that right now.
Can't do it now.
Yeah, because it's public comments.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else have any public comments?
Sam Cannon.
You don't care.
Sam. See you guys. Thanks for your time. I just wanted, I have nothing to say extra except for that I have the same concerns that Philip has risen. So thank you guys.
Thank you.
Dennis Frank, I just want to commend Lisa. She's planted a nice flower garden. She didn't plant any of that ragweed, so it looks very nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis.
Hi, I just had a thought, that Karen Nussbaumer. I'm happy to hear, and just to confirm that y'all are going to have an August workshop, but also, when do y'all plan on, and I know you can't answer me, and who can I talk to, when are you going to plan on forming this committee, and how are y'all going to decide on who's going to be there on this committee? So that's something I would like to address, and maybe y'all can answer that when y'all talk about the design and everything, because I know that's on the agenda on 6-2. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone from staff have any public comments? 4th of July parade.
It's here. Debbie Huffman, Parks and Recreation Manager. The 4th of July parade is Friday morning at 9 o'clock at Beach Access 8. We'll walk to Beach Access 4 to have watermelon and waters and lots of fun giveaways at Beach Access 8. So we'd love to see everyone at 9 o'clock.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, Christina Baburka, Shoreline Director. So I just wanted to comment and let everyone know that our department, alongside the General Land Office and the Coast Guard, are monitoring the tar that is washing in. This is a natural occurrence that we see seasonally. During this time of year, the GLO has been monitoring it, taking samples. At this time, it seems to be just natural seepage from the ocean floor. During this time of year, with increase in temperatures, tidal influences, it does wash in. Right now, we have small pieces that are sparsely scattered out there, some of it fresh, some of it is old and weathered that can break apart really easily. For the Coast Guard to open up funding to clean it up, there has to be a minimum 5% coverage, and there's a whole formula that goes into that. And what we have right now is nowhere near 5%, unfortunately. And so if you do see any tar or oil sightings out there, we encourage you to call the General Land Office. Their number is 800-832-8224. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, it's 832
800-832-8224.
I hope that was appropriate to ask for.
Mayor, City Council, Jim Pigg, Fire Chief. We're going to have a workshop in the morning at the Convention Center about hurricane preparedness and awareness. We've got the National Weather Service going to attend. Texas Department of Emergency Management will also be there to give a talk, Cameron County Emergency Management, and STEER. So we invite the public to come and join us tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Convention Center for a hurricane preparedness meeting. Thank you.
All right. Anyone from council have any public comments?
I'm worn out.
Me too.
The only thing I have to say is that earlier I made a comment regarding the looks like Chapel by the Sea might not no longer at Cameron County Park come December 31st, 2025. The county commissioners are terminating their lease. And so it's going to be a loss of a great asset to South Padre Island. Lots of us have a lot of memories there. The other is that if you go to the if you don't go to the hurricane preparation meeting tomorrow, it looks like the Air Force, starting on July 31st, will no longer be giving data to NOAA when tracking hurricanes. Wow. And so this is kind of reverting us back into the old days where you'd have the sunrise surprise, because you won't have any data from sunset till sunrise as to where that storm is located or where it's moved to or the path and such. And so beginning on July 31st, we're going to need to be a little bit more diligent about tracking storms and being prepared for evacuation, because we could be getting knock on wood, but hopefully we don't get a sunrise surprise and we find out that what we thought wasn't coming near, heading towards us, is now heading towards us, but also 200 miles closer or 400 miles closer. So, but Jim, again, it'll be important to go to that meeting tomorrow. I suggest everyone do that. Anybody else have any public comments?
I just want to, I'm disgusted by the county commissioners. We have three houses of worship on the island, and they want to take one away to for a potential project. I think that's shameful and should all get on the phone. And let's call Sophia Benavides. She's our area representative, David Garza. Let's give him a call. Let him know how you feel about that. But they don't need to be messing with houses of worship. That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. Sophia Benavides is our county commissioner for our precinct. David Garza, I believe he was the one who made the motion, but I'd give him a call. And Judge Trevino, let him know how you feel about that. That's not acceptable. Not acceptable. We can talk about birds and all kinds of other things, but the houses of worship, they need to leave alone. We've buried a lot of friends out of there and had a lot of services out of there, and that's been there for, I think, 47 years. I remember that being there when I used to work at Charlie's in the 90s and watching the kids go over there for sunset. Man, not acceptable. Not acceptable. Let the county know.
My name is Diane Nelson. I live at 217 West Carolyn. And, I kind of heard some rumors that they were going to take this chapel away. I also heard they had, three sites. Have they, I know you can't answer it, but maybe there's these people, do they know for sure where this site is?
I believe
they decided 100% where this site is.
I'm not supposed to talk, but I'm going to say it anyways. I believe one of the commissioners in the meeting said less than 1% of the population of the valley uses that church, so whatever.
Oh, that's terrible. It's a beautiful church. It would be a great loss to the.
It's our one of our only, we have three.
I go to two of the churches on the island, and I love both of them, and that would be just a shame to let that church go. Thank you.
All right, moving on to item number four, we're going to get a 4.1, which is proclamation. July is Parks and Recreation Month, and so we have the proclamation of the City of South Padre Island. Whereas parks and recreation is an integral part of communities throughout this country, including the City of South Padre Island, and whereas parks and recreation promote health and wellness, improving physical and mental cognitive abilities of people who live near parks, whereas parks and recreations encourages physical activities by providing space for popular sports, biking trails, skateboarding, and many other activities designed to promote an active lifestyle, and whereas parks and recreation is fundamental to the environmental well-being of our community, and whereas parks and natural recreation areas encourage the ecological beauty of our community and provide a place for children and adults to connect with nature and recreate outdoors, and whereas parks and recreation is essential, adaptable infrastructure that makes our community resilient in the face of natural disasters and climate change. Whereas the U.S. House of Representatives has designated July as Park and Recreation Month, and now, therefore, we, the City of South Padre Island, Texas, that July is recognized as Park and Recreation Month. Thank you very much.
Debbie Huffman, Parks and Recreation Manager. I just wanted to say thank you. This the council has been very supportive of parks and supporting our efforts with parks. So we want to say thank you to that.
You should have a parade to celebrate.
I should.
Friday at 9 a.m. All right. Then we'll move on to item number 5, approved consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve 5.1 through 5.5?
I'll second.
All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Motion carries. Now we'll move on to item number 6, regular agenda. 6.1, discussion and action regarding the request by the SBI Historical Museum to amend the lease agreement regarding rental payments and possible action amending the lease agreement to provide for parking for the pickleball court patrons and other possible actions regarding the museum lease. Joe, this should have had your name on it, so if you want to handle this.
I'll make a motion to approve, then we can go into discussion.
There we are.
We're met with Mr. Frankie again, excited to get this done. Museum's looking next March, is that the scheduled date?
Your March date for opening?
Grand opening.
All right. I think that we have work through a period.
What, your grand opening, when is it, next March?
I'm sorry, say it again.
You're planning on opening in March?
I was going to get to that. Okay. the museum, I'll just try again, okay? The museum is coming along very nicely. I think most of you can see it from the street. I was going to bring you some pictures, but I didn't have time. Interior-wise, the walls, the floor, the ceiling, everything's up. We're drying it out now for final painting and finishing. We're starting to relay the curbs so that we'll be prepared to do the drives and parking areas here in the near future. Everything looks good. It's going to be, in my opinion, it's going to be a very incredible museum. We have worked through some conversations, and I think we're agreed on both sides today, and I hope that the agenda item will slide through and everybody will be happy with it. But we've adjusted some of our thinking to accommodate the city, and the city has accommodated us by approving our fence and approving some of the things that we need. And so I think everybody's agreed that the whole idea from the very beginning is it was shared facilities, let's say, okay? And so we're sharing them. We're going to be good partners.
Well, I'll say it looks great. You're doing a great job over there. We're really excited for that March opening. Okay. I know I'll be there, and you've taken what an old, tired building, and you're making it look just fantastic. So, really appreciate the museum and everything that they've done to help improve a city asset, and it's going to be a long-term asset to the city, just on an educational standpoint. So, we appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'll get down to what Joe wanted me to start with.
No, we're good. We're good. You got a motion and a second. We're good, Dennis.
I don't think this will ruin it. the museum building will finish this fall, early fall. But the exhibits take a lot longer. And so we are projecting that March will be our opening day, which is going to be very nice to open on season. And we won't open until it's all like it should be. So I think you'll be all happy when you see it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, sir. All right. Does anybody else have any comments or questions?
It's a great example of a public-private partnership.
Yep. All right. All in favor, please.
Hang a picture of you and I in the museum since we're antiques.
Okay.
Your picture.
Energy, I guess. So, all right. Stay off the candy. All right. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, Dennis.
The amendment's ready for your signature, Mr. Frankie. Yeah, just instead of sending it to you.
While that's happening, we're going to go to 6.2, which is presentation update by Janak and Associates regarding the architectural and structural plans for the Convention Center expansion and annex. You know, we had a long workshop earlier. This is going to be a brief presentation. If anybody wants to see the longer version, they're more than welcome to watch the workshop or go online. And we have a web page up regarding the expansion, and it's live and all that fun stuff. But Mr. Henry, go right ahead.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and City Council, Blake Henry, CVB. I think we had I'll second that. I think we had a great and productive workshop today regarding the Convention Center expansion. Again, we'll have several going forward as we narrow down final concepts. So I'm here to introduce Raymond Janak from Janak and Associates, our architect for the City of South Padre Island Convention Center, to give a little update on where we stand as this moment. And I just do want to touch upon two things. Number one, we're going to talk about version two in this, and version two meaning that we're not encroaching in any of the native habitat in the South End. And I also want to discount any rumors that are out there that we're going to turn the circle into a parking lot at all. That's not the intention. We're here to celebrate our natural assets on the island, as well as get a renovated and expanded convention center that this community truly deserves. So with that in mind, let me introduce Raymond Janak from Janak Associates.
Thank you. And I will make it brief, Mayor and Council. Since we just had the presentation, this is your existing aerial view, existing floor plan. This was the original or version one, which did encroach on the habitat with the idea of planting 37,000 square feet of native trees and bird-friendly trees, if you will. I'm not sure that's the correct term. But as I'm going through here, I do want to say I forgot to say it in the earlier presentation, that Blake got a call from the Audubon Society. Blake put me in touch with them, and I put our landscape architects in touch with them, who happened to know each other well. And they had a good conversation, discussed the native plants that we were thinking about putting back into this site. And the report I got, it was a very well receive conversation between the Audubon Society and our landscape consultants. We have some restrictions here on the wetlands that we've talked about previously. The black box theater, ballroom, meeting rooms, and new exhibit hall. This is the gray represents the footprint.
This is the old plan. Yeah.
The gray is the old plan.
No, but also this is an old plan because it's
Sir. I'm moving.
Yeah. Okay.
That very, very clear.
I was just trying to clear up stuff for the audience.
Sir. I appreciate that. That's the old, and this is the entrance to the convention center proposed, and this would be the bayside outside the ballroom. And this is the alternate plan where the wailing wall stays intact on two sides and on the inside. The natural habitat on the south side of the facility is not touched.
This area right here.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. And then there would be a little bit of encroachment on the what we call the earlobe, but it will still, and there's no parking was eliminated from, so there is no hard surfaces in here unless we designate hard surfaces. We've talked about having movies and some outdoor activities within that circle.
and that's yet to be
kind of uniting children and families with nature, which is actually what this month's all about, what I just read. So, okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And this is the plan with the Black Box Theater here. You can see the modification of the Circle Drive, the exhibit hall, ballroom, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going through this fast. If you want me to slow down, let me know. This is the existing footprint versus the overall footprint of the new version of the design. And this shows the black box, new meeting rooms, additional meeting rooms, the ballroom, exhibit hall expansion, support space for the black box theater. And then the second floor, which we spoke about earlier, when we squeezed the square footage because of the wetlands and other design forces, if you will, we're going to put administration on a second floor, operations over here, and administration, Blake and his folks over here. The entrance of the convention center, we think, is a very handsome civic piece of architecture for the convention center. We deal daily with material selections because of the harsh environment that we have here. And as Blake mentioned, any glass that we have here is going to be bird friendly. It's going to be fritted, what's called fritted glass. It actually has dots in it that you can see through, but birds tend to fly into it much less than they would clear glass. And this would be this is a rendering of the ballroom, a rendering of a meeting room, large meeting room. And this is a rendering of the new concourse, which we think is pretty handsome and a very modernized addition to the existing convention center. Thank you.
Blake, I had one question for you, and if you don't have an answer for it, I completely understand. But earlier in the slideshow, you had mentioned that we're spending about $1.8 million a year on maintenance of
Correct.
The building. And sometimes, and Raymond, you can probably help out with this too, is that sometimes when a building reaches its past its useful age, you start having higher maintenance costs than you would if you went ahead and remodeled or renovated the building, and you could take that savings that you're spending $1.8 million a year on fixing air conditioning units and repairing roofs and rotted I-beams, and you could use that for debt payment and have a brand new building that doesn't need all these repairs. And is that's something that we kind of see in this project?
Yeah, and that's correct. I mean, I mentioned briefly in a previous presentation, we're trying a lot of, I mean, we know that plastic is rusting as we speak here. I mean, you know, we're trying to keep as much of the mechanical and electrical equipment enclosed and mezzanines and things like that because, yes, there are a lot of maintenance issues. I mean, the building is, I don't know how long old
about
it 92,
is. 92.
Yeah, and it, you know, it didn't meet windstorm back then. The materials were not the materials that we have today. And yeah,
Windstorm didn't even exist in 92.
I was trying to be polite.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, that's where we are part of what we're seeing is that if you're throwing $1.8 million a year into repairs,
right. Then,
you know, that's a huge amount of money that you could save to put towards on an annual basis towards a debt service of fixing a building and then
That's
creating
exactly.
a new building and then using today's technology versus 40-year-old technology to help build it for the environment that we're in.
Yes, sir.
We're seeing this is a lot of inefficiencies with our HVAC unit. So if built properly, we could save dollars in the process. Besides just bringing this venue into the 21st century, it's just falling apart. We have several issues, water issues, we have HVAC issues, constant electrical outages, and that's just interfering with our event operation, which is really bad at this point. So, again, going back to your point, Mayor, We could save a lot of dollars here, and it's something to consider. It's a viable thing to consider when building a convention center is those dollar savings to be put back into payment.
And one thing that concerns me is when you hear about people who are holding events there and they have to bring extra buckets to collect water that's leaking from the HVAC system so they don't have someone slip and fall. That's put some red flags in my mind, at least, you know, so I don't know. But anyway, I appreciate that. Does anyone else from the board have any questions?
Raymond, Blake, can you guys talk about the wetlands delineation where you found more uplands and what we're going to do with that, adding the parking and more green space that we didn't know we had?
Can you go? Let me see.
I think it's about six slides in. I saw it. I was hoping you guys would want to ask you earlier at the meeting.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question?
During the study for the mitigation, you guys found that there's a lot more uplands on the property that's now available for parking and mature growth. Can you just kind of show that property?
Sir. Yes, sir. We're, this area right here adjacent to existing parking lot, we were going to be able to add more parking along with parking along this area here. Yeah, and all this here. And then we've talked to Blake about possibly adding some more inside the wetland or upland along Padre Boulevard.
And then we found some growth up on the top end to the south where we could add more dense planting and nature planting and that sort of thing, because that's all uplands now. And obviously you're not going to, you know, we need parking, but we also need to create more pocket areas of native growth, and that's not a pocket, that's a big area right there.
Sure.
That's bigger than what's there right now. So
that's
anyway.
Right.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Can you step up to the mic and state your name, even though you already did state your name earlier, which just the redundancy is fun.
It looks like you're doubling the size of the facility, but basically keeping the same parking that you have. Is, don't you need more parking? I mean, a lot more parking.
We're adding parking. That's what they were just talking about that. We found out that there's a lot of...
There's a little fringe around the edge.
The fringe is a lot of spots.
Well, I will say this.
That's concerning to me.
I would agree. Parking is a very big thing. And we are, as we've learned from earlier of a couple hours... And through a couple of years, we're the first step right now is figuring out what we're going to build. And then, you know, if we have to build a parking garage or we have to work with the BNC, because the BNC has plans to build a big parking lot out in front and we could connect that. I mean, there's some areas at one point in time, where we had a discussion when we were up in Austin trying to get South Padre Island on the list of convention center hotel. You know, one of the ideas was that we could take that 5% rebate and apply it to a parking garage that's connected to the Cameron County was looking at putting a hotel there and making that all. So yes, parking is definitely something that we're going to keep in the matrix for sure. But first we got to figure out what we want to do. And that's the big question is do we do the whole thing? Do we do the remodel and expand just the exhibit hall and all of that? And we're going to have lots of meetings over the next couple of months to really nail down exactly the direction that we all want to go. But I agree, parking is important.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you were thinking about
it. No. There's a lot of discussion about parking recently, especially if you watch some of the trash on YouTube or whatever. So anyway.
Any other additional questions?
All right. Hearing none, thank you. All right, we'll move to item number 6.3, which is discussion and possible action to approve resolution number 2025-08, authorizing an application for Texas Parks and Wildlife Local Park Grant Program for the revitalization of Water Tower Park and authorizing the city manager to execute said application.
We're just Debbie Huffman, Parks and Recreation Manager. We are just revisiting this. We applied for Texas Parks and Wildlife Grant last year for the revitalization of Water Tower Park. We did not receive it, but I have gone to a meeting with Texas Parks, and they gave us some ideas of how to improve our grant application, one of which is some of the property that's in the back where the Triangle Jungle Gym is owned by the Water District. So this grant that we're going to apply for this year is just going to be the land that we own right now. So it'll be for just this area. And today what we're asking for is just to go forward with the grant application. So there's still a lot of stuff going with it, but it would be to replace the swings, level the ground out, add additional play equipment that would be space themed possibly, resurface the basketball court, and add additional benches and picnic tables. So there's our existing swings. The structure is fine, but the swings need to be replaced. We want to level out this whole thing so it's more ADA compliant for everyone to be able to get to all corners of the park. It just has that step up, and it doesn't make it as conducive to more play area. So there's the park right there. Texas Parks and Wildlife Grant opened on May the 1st, and it will close on August the 1st. So that's why we're in a little bit of sense of urgency. I took it to the Parks Committee on their meeting in June, and they agreed that we wanted to go forward and try again to get this this going and go for the grant. Let me see. I've got some number. There's a possible spaceship that they liked. It's a little pricey, so we're going to look at some different options as well. But it would actually fit there in the footprint.
How is there a maximum amount that you can apply for on this grant?
The small community grant would be $150,000 to $300,000. We could go for the larger
that's grant, harder. Which
would be up to $750,000. If we wanted to do that, if there was some extra property or anything involved.
But
I would need to get that into Texas Parks as soon as possible for them to have that earmarked as a future property.
Okay, just curious.
Using the value of the land to, for our, 50% of the grant?
I think we're going to put it, we have to match it.
Yeah, when I talked to them, we didn't discuss that, but they did talk about possibility of us going for the larger grant and adding some things, but we would need to get that in there. So that for the small community, it would be the $150,000, but it's actually the same grant process, so we could explore the options, and with the things that you'll sign, the resolution and the grant application request from today could be for either one of those projects.
What would be your drop dead date to know which way to go on the grant? Like July 18th, July 20th, July 15th? Do you have a date?
As soon as possible. I mean, drop dead would be probably after next city council, just because, it's got to be all set and done and applied. I mean,
that's why I was asking, because I know you have August 1st as a deadline, but you need a couple of days to at least to assemble everything and get it ready.
And if there was any property stuff, it would need to be ASAP for them
to
talk to us and get it back.
Okay.
Table.
Let's make a motion to approve it, and then if we get some knowledge and distance, then we can figure it. We can add it to the next meeting and amend it. So that way she has time to at least get everything going. That work with you?
Because we could go forward with exactly how it is, and it could be either the large community grant urban community grant or the local park.
So the resolution works for either if we go for the 750 or the 300.
And then we could bring it back for approvals for the...
I'll amend the motion if you get rid of the double basketball hoop. The kids don't like that, and they also want a light...
The double rim.
The double rim, and they want a light facing east, not west, so they can shoot without the light in their eyes.
We could probably fix that before we get this grant, which will take a while. Right. So, yeah, we can order a basketball. Just send me an email on that.
I will.
That motion. Okay. Is there any other discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Then we'll move on to item number 6.4, which is discussion action to award the disaster and storm recovery service contract, which is FD 2025-01. Chief Pig.
Mayor, City Council, Jim Pig, Fire Chief South Padre. So our contract with Ashbritt ran out. They were a company we've been using for years. They are an awesome company, but they didn't want to extend our contract because they're going after bigger contracts like the California fires and so forth. So they decided to do away with some of the smaller contracts that they had. So we went out for bid. We had four companies that put out the or responded to the RFP. We formed a four-person committee. We all went over this, discussed on which individuals would or which companies might work best for us. We all voted on it. We took a score and took the average on it, and we went with a company called Ceres. If you have any questions on it, there's a lot of background information on all of this, how they bid it, how they quote it. Some of them are completely different from others. I did go to the TEDM conference. I went and met with some of the companies without letting them know who I was, discussing how and how they respond, what they do, where they have equipment. They just use subs. Ceres is one of the bigger companies. They do have equipment already staged in FAR. They have contracts with other cities around. They've got a great references, and they just seem to be the best fit for us. They're the company that's going to come in and get us back up and running, as we believe, with the equipment and so forth that they have, that they'll be the company that can get us back online as quick as possible. So that's who we decided to go with. We based this off of qualifications and experience, personal qualifications with management planning and response experience, with National Incident Management System adoption and compliance, projects understanding and approach, management systems and the reporting systems. There also has to be a monitoring system because they're removing debris and they get paid on which debris they get. They're able to charge FEMA for. FEMA is kind of iffy right now, but it will remain that who they are billing, whether it's the state or FEMA, if it's a 3-inch diameter tree versus a 6-inch. And there's a monitoring company that comes with that as well. When they are taking debris to the dumps and the sites, they are monitored and then that's reported. So they do their due diligence through FEMA, and that company is reputable as well.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Someone like to make a motion?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. All in favor, please vote for.
Raise your hand.
Opposed? Well, let's hope this service is something we don't have to use.
Exactly. Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to 6.5, which is discussion regarding the allocated venue tax funds for architectural and other professional services associated with the convention center expansion that have been rendered to date. Ken, this is your item.
I want to do a shout out to city staff. They've gotten plenty of information in last week and this week. I've still got two more pieces that go back to 2024. In the meeting on the 16th, I'll be coming back with two items for discussion and action.
Okay.
So.
All right, well, then I guess we'll just move on to item number 6.6, which is an update and discussion on the Wind Water Sports Park, a venue tax item. Mm-hmm. It's taken 6 years so far.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council, Christina Baberka, Shoreline Director. Thank you, IT. Okay. I'm going to go through kind of what's been going on over the last couple months to bring everyone up to speed, since there's been a lot of back end and administrative tasks going on. So our permit was withdrawn last March. We did hire a new firm. We've been working with them. And in December 2024 is when we resubmitted our permit application to the Corps of Engineers. In January, we were able to they confirmed receipt of that permit application, and we had a meeting with the Corps as well as U.S. Fish and Wildlife to discuss the project, the biological assessment, as well as the mitigation plan. In February, we submitted the biological assessment to the Corps of Engineers based on that meeting with U.S. Fish and Wildlife and a draft consultation letter that the Corps could use to send to U.S. Fish and Wildlife. We followed up with the Corps on that biological assessment middle of February. They did ask for some updated title data, and so we got that incorporated into the plans and resubmitted that. In March, the head of the regulatory for our Galveston district in HDR had a phone call, and he actually had not known that our project was resubmitted. They have a system that they submit, and so it had not been submitted into that system. That was March 20th. HDR, our engineering firm, and the Corps of Engineers had a phone call. HDR resubmitted that mitigation plan biological assessment. The Corps requested edits, and HDR immediately submitted those edits back to the Corps. We did have another public notice that went out for a 15-day period. Starting on March 26th and March 27th, the Corps submitted a request for initiation of formal consultation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The TCEQ 401 pre-filing request was submitted at the end of March, and then the essential fish habitat requested additional information in response to the public comment period. In April, the essential fish habitat staff confirmed they will be submitting a letter in response to the public notice. That public notice closed on April 10th. We had a meeting, a call with National Marine Fisheries Service regarding the essential fish habitat, and provided the comments and responses that we had from our first public notice that happened in 2020. We had a public notice back then. National Marine Fisheries Service had commented, we responded, and we had sent those back to them to refresh their memory. The Army Corps emailed that they emailed us April 21st, the comments that we had received from that that public comment period that ended April 10th. We got comments from the EPA and National Marine Fisheries Service. At the end of April, we had a call with the Fisheries Service to discuss their comments on the essential fish habitat. And then we emailed those comments to them just to confirm what we had discussed. We believe a lot of their concerns will be addressed in the biological assessment that we have with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. In May, TCEQ, the 401 cert request was submitted. HDR emailed the Corps the responses that we received from the public comment period. So our answers, clarifications that EPA and National Marine Fisheries Service submitted, those were all sent on May 15th. Army Corps forwarded that information request that So U.S. Fish and Wildlife, they had clarifications and questions regarding formal consultation initiation that I talked about a little bit ago. U.S. Fish and Wildlife sent the Corps those requests on May 2nd, and we received it on May 15th. In mid-June, HDR emailed the Corps those responses to U.S. Fish and Wildlife requests, as well as biological assessment and mitigation plan revised plans that incorporate those responses. They have concerns on hydrology, and then just clarification on the effects of species and habitat that we clarified to address their concerns. Army Corps confirmed that receipt of those responses and documents on June 17th. And so right now we are waiting to hear if that has been submitted or not. So where we're currently at with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and their consultation, so there's an initial 30-day initiation period. This is where we're at, where we submit something, they might have comments, and so this is where we can nail everything out and make sure we address their concerns. So in March, the Corps submitted to U.S. Fish and Wildlife. They had additional information clarification. We resubmitted that in the middle of June, and so we're in this 30-day period. Once U.S. Fish and Wildlife confirms that they have enough information, they will start the formal consultation period, and they have up to 90 days. This is where they'll analyze the potential impacts on the endangered species and the habitat that we have listed in our biological assessment. After the consultation, they will begin writing the biological opinion, which gets put into our final permit. Here's a little fun diagram that goes through that process and everything that might be required with a permit. I have starred there what we need, which is that Endangered Species Act consultation, which is what we're working with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the Section 401 certification process, and the Coastal Zone Management Act certification process. That's it.
Thank you.
Questions?
Wow.
You know, it's kind of funny. Someone earlier made the comment about, hey, we should just build a parking garage over wetlands.
Yeah.
This is a 1 acre gravel park on low value wetlands. I could only imagine how many decades it would take to do a parking garage over high value wetlands. Because I mean, it's just amazing that this is 6 years in six, almost 7 years, 6 years. In
Seven, 75 months.
With the Army Corps and all that fun stuff. It's just absolutely amazing. I mean, it's nuts. So.
The other side, you know, this is from March, all the activities that you've done since March.
Yeah.
And this kind of stuff has been going on for 7 years.
Yeah. No, it's insane.
Life, though, for the first time.
Yeah.
This is the
good news.
Yeah, we're third base going for home now. So that's the good news. And I think Colonel Blackman's term expires here in about 6 months, and he assured us he wanted to get this project done.
Yep.
Back in December. So.
Yeah. So, all right. Anybody else have any questions? All right. Hearing none, we'll go to 6.7, which is update and discussion on Restore Act Marisol Public Boat Ramp.
What we have been waiting for is the award amendment from the U.S. Treasury, and we are anticipating this very soon. Part of this award was to include an additional $400,000 in grant funds for construction, as well as a time extension. We originally only had just over $700,000 for construction, and last year we had requested additional $400,000 based on what we were estimating construction costs to be, but that was a year ago. So this is kind of just a breakdown of where all the funds have been, where the grant funds is, city match. We did open bids on June 26th. We received three bids, so we have a scoring committee that are reviewing that, and we anticipate presenting those bids for the Shoreline Task Force to review on July 15th, and then this will be on the City Council meeting for July 16th to select a contractor. We're estimating construction to hopefully begin in September 2025. We know that's a long period, but there is obviously the contract period, and then we do have to request a notice to proceed from the U.S. Treasury, which will take some time. So we're hoping to break ground in September.
The you know, people talk about rising construction costs. What was our original estimate, engineer estimate? Roughly?
$1.5 million. Our low bid was $1.7 million. The other two bids were $2.1 million and $2.3 million.
And that's just in
a year.
A year's time. Less than
not
a
even
year,
a year,
probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. 20-30% delta. Here we go. All right. Anybody else have any questions regarding the Marisol public boat ramp?
It's exciting. New boat ramp. South Padre winning.
By spring of 2026. Let's go.
All right. Access.
We'll move to item number 7, which is a closed executive session pursuant to section 551.072, deliberation about real property. It's a closed session will be held to discuss the possible purchase of real property related to parks and venue. Is there a motion to go into executive session?
Make a motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor, please raise your hand. Let the record indicate that we're going into executive session at 6:19, and we should be hopefully out here in just a little bit. Hopefully. Where's Wendy? Can you get with Philip and Sam, please? All right. It is 6:40 or 6:50. It's a long day here.
Yep.
And we are returning from executive session. We're going to pull 8.2, 8.3, 8.4, but we're going to have 8.1, which is discussion and possible action to authorize the city manager, after city attorney's approval, to execute an MOU regarding a parcel of land for future venue tax projects. Someone like to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to instruct the city manager and city attorney to enter into a non-binding MOU with exclusivity for 60 days for a parcel of land for a future venue tax project.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all. And y'all have a great day. Sorry we missed the media. I guess they didn't want to stick around.